All right, joining us, a fixture here at Chase Field. He is the president of the local Sabre chapter. I've spent a lot of time with him over the winters, and that is Rodney Johnson. He is also is the official scorer at Chase Field, and he's a historian of baseball, especially the Cactus League. So, Rodney, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Always great to be out here at Chase Field every day.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We were talking about the ballpark today, and it is a big park, but at 48,000 seats, they always say maybe 10,000 too many. But it's such a big park. What would they do with the space?
Yeah, I don't know. It has to be this tall almost to accommodate the space for the roof. So I don't know what they would do with that extra space. Maybe an official scorer suite.
Very good. That's exactly right. All right. You and Michael Duca would get the suite up there. Hey, the leadoff hitter for the Diamondbacks today, and Inciarte, and you made an interesting comment about it. I said, how do you like him? I guess he doesn't hit a lot.
Well, he hasn't so far, certainly. He's got great speed, can run well. That's probably why he's at the top of the order, and he plays good defense in center field. But, you know, leadoff spot, it's an interesting choice today because he doesn't get on base that much. But at least this way, Prado won't hit into a double play behind him.
I like that. He's funny. This is good. Rodney is good. Hey, Rodney, you're being the official scorer, and, of course, we go through this all the time around Major League Baseball. You're a great baseball man. You know the Arizona Rookie League. You're working with that as well. Is it a job that's evolving? Is it going to be taken away? Are umpires going to do it? There's always a little bit of controversy around the official score.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's a different job than umpiring. It's a completely the whole different perspective. We don't umpire, and umpires don't do the official scoring. So it's judgment. You know, if all the calls were easy, if anybody could do it, then you wouldn't have to have an official score. You just write down what happened. But and a lot of times, that's all you have to do. But there are those times in the game when you have to make a decision or know what the rule is to call a certain play away.
Not simple. Hey, I asked you a question. We had, I think, the old professor called in last night and asked me whether a pitcher who's not going to pitch that day can be put in the ninth spot. And then if the ninth spot comes up in the first inning, you pinch hit for him with whoever you want. I wasn't sure. I said, yeah, why not? You could do that. But you've corrected me. Earl Weaver tried to do that, and it's called, I guess, the Earl Weaver rule.
Yeah, it happened when they put in the designated hitter. Earl Weaver would put maybe a pitcher in the DH spot and then decide who he wanted to bat in that spot based on the situation when the hole came up. So they pretty much decided that, you know, you're in that starting lineup, you got a bat unless you leave the game for an injury defensively. So if you're not playing the field and haven't played the field and your spot comes up, you better go up there with a bat.
All right, very good. All right, Rodney is with us. He is the president of the local Sabre chapter. And part of that, you've done a lot of research on the Cactus League. And I think it's fascinating how this started, because now it's 15 teams, $1 billion coming into the Valley of the Sun here. It's a big deal, all the new stadiums. It wasn't always like that, but the original teams are two very famous teams, the Indians and the Giants.
Yeah, Marty, you'd never, looking out at Chase Field and the grandiose Major League Stadium here, you never would have thought that a little baseball team in the desert here could survive back in 1947 when the Cactus League started. And it was the Giants and Indians, you're right, who started the Cactus League, Horace Stoneham and Bill Veeck. And Bill Veeck gets a lot of the credit for it, mainly because he gave himself the credit for it in his book. But Horace Stoneham certainly had as much to do with it and a much longer lasting impact on the Cactus League than Bill Veeck did. Bill Veeck was gone within a couple of years from the Cactus League. And, of course, you know, Horace Stoneham stayed for as long as he owned the Giants, 30-some years in the Cactus League. And he was, if you were to start a Mount Rushmore of the Cactus League, you'd have plenty of Giants up there. You know, you'd have Willie Mays, and you'd have Bob Feller from the Indians, who were the biggest, I think the two biggest Cactus League icons. You might add in there more recently maybe Ken Griffey Jr. and Tony Gwynn. So, you know, the Cactus League has a long history of great players in here. You know, 15 teams now, started with two teams. Now half the teams in the major leagues train in the Valley here.
Well, Willie Mays always told me they hit 24 home runs one Cactus League season. Of course, the spring training season. I said, I don't believe it. But he says, no, it's true. You can look it up. And he hit 24 home runs one spring training. Amazing.
Well, I'll have to check on that. Boy, that would be pretty amazing. But the ball does carry here. And back in the day, Willie Mays played every inning, every game in the Cactus League, as did most of the star players. There was only a few players battling for positions who would come in and out of games. Cactus League's very different today.
Rodney Johnson with us, president of the Sabre chapter. Just talking, because so many people come down here for spring training, it's good to hear a little bit of how this thing came about. There was a time that the Cactus League was sort of on shaky ground in the late 50s. Red Sox were here. The Orioles were here. What turned it around? What sort of saved the Cactus League?
Well, Cactus League has been saved many times. And the first time, I think it was expansion. They had four teams here. The Orioles were here and left. The Red Sox had been here and left. The Houston Colt 45s were here a couple years and left. But the Angels, the Angels have now the third longest tenure in the Cactus League of any team. Of course, the Indians left and came back. They had a 15-year gap there. So the Angels in 61 went to Palm Springs, and they now have the third longest tenure behind the Cubs and the Giants.
Boy, interesting talking with Rodney here about the Cactus League. And now 15 teams and more coming? Is this it? Have they exhausted it? Can you bring any more in here?
Yeah, Major League Baseball would love to have 16 teams in one league and 14 in the other for scheduling purposes, because it is now either one team has to be off or there has to be a split squad every day. So they'd like an even number in each league, Grapefruit League and Cactus League. My suspicion is that they would rather it be in the Cactus League because of the proximity of the teams. For that month in March every year, there are more professional players in a 50-mile radius than at any other time in any other place in the world.
Amazing.
Because of all the minor league teams and the major league teams here.
Amazing. All right, Rodney, one last thought for you. And thinking about the Cactus League and how this whole thing came about, is there a stadium that you really like that you say, boy, I go to this stadium and it makes me feel very special?
Well, you know what? I'm an old guy, so I've been going to Cactus League games and seen just about every stadium and ones that aren't there anymore. So the two that I really focus on are your own Scottsdale Stadium. The thing that I really love about it is where it is. I remember my first time going to Fenway Park and walking around the corner in a neighborhood, and there was a ballpark.
Yeah.
And I get that same feeling at Scottsdale Stadium. It's there it is in the middle of the ballpark, and it's very intimate park. And the other one is Tempe Diablo Stadium, is going to be the oldest stadium in the Cactus League now, having opened in 69. And it is... It's just an intimate spring training feeling. I mean, as far as the facilities go, the new park and the Cubs park and the Diamondbacks park, they are fabulous. But to me, they don't have that intimate spring training feel that you get at Scottsdale Stadium and Tempe Diablo Stadium.
A little different. Hey, Rodney, nice to have you with us. I'm sure the fans enjoy getting a little background. They all come down here for the Cactus League, and you're the guy. You're the historian, so I appreciate you being on the show.
Yeah, glad to be here, Marty.
All right, he's the official scorer. We'll see if he has any trouble today, and we'll be in touch with
him. Well, we need these Giants to take it easy on the Diamondbacks.
All right, Rodney, thanks so much, as always. All right, that's Rodney Johnson. More coming up on KNBR 680, the sports leader.